chemical impulses from the eyes and makes pictures out of them. Corvus shook his head. But how? How does it work? How can the brain turn electrical impulses into visual imagery?
We do it with display screens, Jaeger mused. Electrons paint pictures on the screens.
Is that how it's done in the visual cortex?
How would I know?
Corvus began to reply, but as he looked up from his dinner plate, he saw Deirdre and Dorn heading toward their table. Once they were seated and had spoken their dinner orders to the robot that had immediately rolled up to their table, Corvus and Jaeger fell into their argument again.
It can't be done, Jaeger insisted.
You mean you don't know how to do it, said Corvus.
Same thing, Jaeger rejoined with a knowing grin. If I don't know how to do it, nobody knows how to do it.
Do what? Dorn asked. Translate the electrical activity in Dee's brain into visual imagery while she's in contact with Baby, Corvus explained. The argument between the two men swirled on. It wasn't until their desserts were served that Deirdre said, Maybe we can go around the problem.
Go around it? Corvus and Jaeger asked in unison.
Deirdre hesitated a moment.
This may be silly.
Go ahead, said Corvus. We're open to any and all ideas.
Well, why don't I just tell you what I'm seeing while I'm in contact with Baby?
Dorn objected. But you seemed to be sleeping when you made contact with the dolphin.
If I could stay awake, Deirdre said, I could tell you what I'm seeing while you're recording my brainwave patterns. That would help, wouldn't it?
It sure would, Andy said. But you weren't awake, Jaeger objected. Not fully conscious, anyway.
Deirdre said, Well, that was just my first experience with the equipment. Maybe with practice, I could stay conscious, aware.
Come to think of it, Corvus said, I stayed conscious when I was in contact with the elephant back Earthside.
Jaeger objected. But here with the dolphins, you both went into a trance.
Yeah, but that might just be an initiation reaction.
You think with practice you could stay awake? Jaeger asked, looking from Corvus to Deirdre and back again.
Corvus shrugged. It's worth a try.
With a nod, Jaeger agreed. What have we got to lose?
Catherine Westfall felt relieved when Dr. Poen finally left her quarters. He's on the verge of babbling it all out to that Ambrose woman and her friend, she thought. But I can't get rid of him. It would look too suspicious. No, she told herself as she got up from her chair and headed for the bedroom. I'll have to keep bucking him up and showing him that Deirdre Ambrose is no threat to him. As long as he keeps her condition under control, she'll be satisfied. She won't snoop any farther. Even if she tries to contact Selene to check on Dr. Nordstrom's medical file, all she'll get is a polite refusal to show faculty records. Then Westfall got a better idea. Freeze her. Tell her the treatment isn't working, and she'll have to be frozen until we reach Jupiter and the research station. It would only be for a little more than a week. That would keep her from snooping around and satisfy Poen that he's not under any threat from her. Nodding happily as she headed for her closet, Westfall told herself, Keep her frozen, and we'll be all right until we reach the gold station. Once we're there, I'll have young Miss Ambrose revived and totally under my control. Catherine Westfall smiled at that thought as she began to dress for her dinner with Captain Guerra.
Dolphin Tank. Andy Corvus stood disconsolately over Deirdre, who appeared to be dozing as she sat on Andy's big aluminum case, the optronics circlet over her auburn hair. Her eyes were closed, her breathing slow and regular, her hands relaxed in her lap. Standing beside Corvus, Dorn said, Has she made contact again? Andy said nothing, but pointed to the two laptop screens on the deck at Deirdre's feet. Each showed an image of a brain, Deirdre's and the dolphin baby. Each image flickered with electrical activity in close unison.
Looks that way, Corvus said forlornly.
That's good, then, said Dorn.
With a shrug of his shoulders that seemed to flex his entire arms and his whole back, Corvus replied, She can't seem to stay conscious while she's in contact.
Dorn nodded.
That means she can't tell us what she's seeing, what she's experiencing. Not in real time.
She'll tell us when she regains consciousness. Shaking his head, Corvus murmured, "Not good enough. All we'll have is anecdotal evidence. She could be making up the whole thing."
"You don't believe her?" Doran challenged, a hint of truculence in his voice.
"I believe her, but the scientific community's going to want more than her unsubstantiated word. If she could stay awake and give us a real-time narrative, then we could compare her timeline with her brain activity and babies. That would be real proof that she's in contact with the dolphin."
Doran rubbed the flesh side of his jaw. "Andy, are you interested in making meaningful contact with the dolphins or in publishing a paper that will enhance your scientific reputation?"
"Both," Corvus answered without a flicker of hesitation.
"You may have to settle for just the one of them."
"You don't understand," Corvus said earnestly. "Science depends on publishing your results so others can duplicate them. Every observation, every measurement, every claim has to be subject to test. You publish something new, and the rest of the community tries to duplicate what you've done. If they can get the same results you did, your work becomes an accepted part of science. If they can't, if they don't get the same results that you reported, your work goes into the trash bin."
"But the important thing," Doran insisted, "is that she is making meaningful contact with the dolphin, which means your equipment might allow you to make meaningful contact with the leviathans once we reach Jupiter."
"The important thing," Corvus replied, "is that the scientific community believes that I've done it. I can spend the rest of my life chatting with those giant whales on Jupiter, but if the scientific community doesn't believe I've done it, what good is it?"
"What good is it to who? You personally? The scientific community? The human race in general?"
Corvus rolled his eyes heavenward. "Look, Doran, my work won't do the human race any good at all if the scientific community says it's doggy-do."
For an instant, Doran said nothing. Then he broke into a deep, chuckling laugh. "Doggy-do. Is that the technical name for it?"
Corvus grinned back at him sheepishly. "You know what I mean." At that moment, both laptops chimed, and they turned to look down at Deirdre. She stirred. Her eyelids fluttered. Then she opened her eyes fully. Corvus realized for the first time that there were glints of amber in her light brown eyes. Beautiful eyes, he thought.
"I fell asleep," Deirdre said apologetically.
"That's all right," said Doran, extending his human hand to help her to her feet.
"You made contact again?" Corvus asked. Deirdre nodded absently.
"Baby's mother told us a story."
"What?
A story?"
"It was kind of strange," Deirdre said. "Not like a story so much as a prediction, I guess you'd call it. Maybe a warning."
Swimming effortlessly in the tank, Deirdre heard Mother's clicks and whistles as if the dolphin were talking to her. "It seems safe and easy now," Mother was saying. "In this water where there are no sharks to threaten us, and the fish are always close to our teeth. But sometime, we may find our way out to the true waters again, the waters where our mothers and fathers of old swam and hunted, waters that are so deep they have no bottom, waters that have treacherous currents that can carry you far, far away. The sharks are always there, waiting for a lone dolphin with their sharp teeth. They are always hungry. They never rest." Baby flipped her tail and rose gracefully to the surface for a gulp of air. Mother followed her while Father swam below. "You must be ready to face the sharks, ready to swim in the big water, ready to hunt. Now the fish have nowhere to hide from us. But in the big water, the fish can run far, far away." "How big is the big water?" Baby asked. 100 feedings would cover only a small part of it," Mother replied. "Have you seen this?" Mother said. "I have seen bigger water than we are in now. But no, I have not swum in the truly big water. My mother and her mother and their mother's mothers have told about it." "Schools of fish that blot out the light," Baby said. "Yes. And sharks that eat baby dolphins," Baby said. Sharks are bad.
Very bad.